Angels. Angels are near us. Angels bring many images in our minds. They are protectors and guardians. We can feel their heavenly presence when we open and invite them into our lives. Linda Torres serves as an instrument to deliver the peace, love, and inspiration that the angels and archangels desire for each one of us. Linda reminds us that these celestial beings are here to love, light, and divinely guide us through our journey. Tune in to the angels' messages and learn more on Angels Are Near Us with Linda Torres every other Monday at 8 p.m. on Station 1 here at bbsradio.com. Rest assured that your angels are guiding you every minute of the way. Angels are near us.
Hello, everyone. I'm Linda Torres, your host on Angels Are Near Us, here on bbsradio.com, number one live internet radio. We apologize. We're starting a little bit later, but there was some technical challenges because of the weather. And you know how it goes with the weather. The rain and the wind is really coming forth loud and clear. And very cloudy, that's what I wanted to say. But anyway, thank you for tuning in tonight. We do have a wonderful program. And my sincere intention, of course, is always to bring you the loving messages and information about the angels and the archangels and all celestial beings. So at this time, I want to invite the angels and the archangels and all beings of light to be with us, to bring in your guidance and assurance for the highest good of all. Please surround us with divine light and let only your divine wisdom and truth come through at this time. Thank you, God and angels. And so it is. Amen. So tonight I want to tell you about our invited guest. Her name is Dr. Kirmi Wollenhouse, PhD. Kirmi is an angelologist, author, and clairvoyant. She hosts a call-in show also in Tucson, Arizona, and it's called Kirmi and the Angels. Kirmi also facilitates angel workshops and classes, presentations. She is the founder and director of the School of Angel Studies. Kirmi tonight will be talking about the Christmas angels, which is the season to talk about, of course. Kirmi's first book, How to Talk and Actually Listen to Your Guardian Angel, is now available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. So she'll talk a little bit about that. For further information about Kirmi, you can visit her website, which is www.kirmiandtheangels.com. I'll spell that. That's KirmiandTheAngels.com. That's KirmiandTheAngels.com. So without further delay, let me welcome Kirmi to Angels Are Near Us.
Welcome. Thank you so much, Linda, for having me on your show. I'm very excited to be here.
Well, thank you for being with us. You know, I really love angels, and I know that you love angels. And I know you, I was watching some of the YouTube interviews that you've been doing. You talk so much about angels, which I love. But so first of all, tell us about these Christmas angels, or first tell us, how did you get involved with hearing the angels, as many of us do?
Uh-huh. Well, I was pretty much traditionally trained in a Protestant seminary, the Island School of Theology, and mm-hmm. have my Master's of Divinity there, which was mm-hmm. a good foundation for me as well. And then I kept wanting to read metaphysical books, and I have been reading metaphysical books and anything about the other side, experiential experiences that people have had with angels and guides and near-death experiences. I was just so hungry for that information for, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, many, many years. Now, when I went to seminary, I learned a lot about just our basic Christianity and the Bible and it was a very liberal seminary, which was really helpful. So they were embracing me because I was just looking for spirit. And so it was really wonderful. They believed in heaven on earth, which was helpful. So they were extremely socially advanced for most seminaries, which was great. And then I was pastoring a church in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, and mm-hmm. I was coming to the end of my contract, and I kept getting the message to go to Clearwater, Florida, and St. Petersburg, Florida, which is right in the Gulf Coast area by Tampa. And I thought, well, that's odd. I don't know anybody there, but I just kept hearing this, just all over the place, just signs, weird signs. And finally, I went home and looked at a map and to see where it was, and it was on the Gulf Coast. I said it can't be that bad. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to get my PhD in studies that was going to kind of more metaphysics. And I thought, you know, Harvard Divinity School, if they were going to teach me about talking to the other side or the angels, I would have gone there. But instead, I went to kind of a college of metaphysical studies in Clearwater. Mm-hmm. It just happened to, it just, the synchronicity, I showed up 2 weeks later. I was praying, saying, okay, I'm here. What do you want me to do? And I picked up one of those Natural Awakening kind of magazines that has a lot of healthy, whole food kind of healthy living magazines
yes.
that are out, and
yes.
there was an ad. So I went to this college the very next day, and I said, this is my story. I need to learn this. And they said, welcome. And they said, tomorrow night starts our first class, which was so amazing. And show up, and here's how much money, and this is what we do. And so it was like Hogwarts. I was sitting at the feet of psychics and spiritual healers and mediums. Mm-hmm. And so I could take my kind of my natural clairvoyance and my natural clairsentient and learn how to do this. I spent a lot of time sitting in the dark and talking to beings on the other side and getting used to their energy. And about the time I was taking a lot of classes, it was a couple years into this, I was thinking, you haven't told me what I'm supposed to do my dissertation on. So I was just praying, saying, what do you want me to do the dissertation on? Mm-hmm. And one of the psychics who was very good there, she said, it's all kind of foggy, but once you know, you will go forward. And sure enough, I had an angel experience. Like, they called me, and feathers were flying in a place that was not known for feathers. Something clicked on the CD. I was in this store, which was kind of interesting. And I had this experience, and they just were around me, and I just cried for a couple hours. And I said, oh, my gosh, I'm going to do my dissertation on angels. So I'm a credentialed angelologist. And I also, my dissertation was on angels in sacred text, and I'm mm-hmm. going to be putting that together in a book. I have another book that's going into manuscript formula to my agent, and then I'm going to do angels in sacred text, and part of that was angels in the Bible. So I'm going to pull that tonight to talk about the Christmas angels as well. And my show, Kermie and the Angels, was up in Portland for a while, mm-hmm. and then I moved down where it was warmer here in Tucson and started the TV show again. So I'm just very excited. It's on YouTube. We didn't have YouTube when I was in Portland, so it's very exciting to have it on there. So if you go to Kermie and the Angels, www.kermieandtheangels.com, you can click the YouTube connection, and it'll go right to my channel, and you can pick out any show you want to watch.
That's wonderful. I love how you combined your theology with the metaphysical, because, you know, it's strange that you know, religion believes in the angels, and you're talking about angels of the Bible, but at the same time, you opened up so much to your clairvoyant and your intuition, which we all have, of course, but isn't it fascinating how that works and how the angels just invited you to do this?
Mm-hmm. And I said, what took you so long to call me? And they said, you needed to know all this other information before we called you, because once you knew, you would mm-hmm. focus on that, and we needed you to have a foundation in metaphysics. So it's been really helpful when I've taught workshops or at my school, or I've done curriculum throughout some metaphysical schools on angels. It's been very helpful to have the theological background because people come from different religious backgrounds. Mm-hmm. So that's really informed me as well. And then also metaphysical because, you know, when the thrones show up, a lot of people will think they're UFOs. And that's always the theory. What I do is I kind of bring theories together, and I will say, this is a very common theory, like reincarnation. That's a very common theory. We're becoming more and more, people are experiencing near-death experiences, they're bringing that information back. Dr. Raymond Moody did a great book, Life After Life, and talked about the eight stages. And so we're getting more kind of scientific proof as well. And so it's very exciting to kind of just say, this is, you know, a common theory. Or sometimes, you know, Manuel Swedenborg will have some theories about angels, and I'll say, that's not a common theory, but that's his experience. And we want to certainly honor what he's saying in this particular case, but that is about the only place we have heard that he had great visions, that he had anyone else had visions like that. It's kind of like if, you know, you were interviewing somebody in Boston and then somebody in, I don't know, Las Vegas or somebody in the desert of, you know, Sonora, you would ask, what's America like? And you'd get three real different answers. So we want to honor everyone's experiences with the angels. But there's some common threads that run throughout all of our experiences, which is so exciting. I love that. So what I did, too, is I brought in sacred texts. Like, what are the folks in ancient times experiencing with these angels? And, of course, there were so many really good philosophers like Thomas Aquinas who came up with that thought, you know, how many angels are on the tip of a pen, and had amazing thinkers talk about that. Is our angels form? Are they energy? What are they? Anyway, so I wanted to talk about, angels around Christmas time. Jesus, this man who walked with us, you know, almost 2,000 years ago, he knew angels so well. They were so connected to him. They were the ones, as we know, Gabriel came to Mary to tell her about the conception of Jesus. Not only that, but an angel went to see her cousin Elizabeth and Zacharias to tell them that even though it was very ancient, old, like we think about 83 or something like that, that she was going to have a child. It's going to be John the Baptist, you know, all that. And then we have, like, the angels coming not only telling Mary, but also at announcing the birth to the shepherds. And then they warn Joseph in dreams about having to take Mary and Jesus, you know, to escape in Egypt from Herod's, you know, torture and was going to kill kids and things like that. So, and then we just go back to that was angels ministered to Jesus after the 40 days in the wilderness. You know, sometimes we don't hear these stories. And if you really kind of delve into them, that's why I put this book together, Angels in the Bible, and let me get that out, because there's so much angels. I go to a lot of churches, and they want to hear about angels in the Bible, and I'll say, oh, my God, there's so many. And then when he was at Mount Olive, one of my favorite paintings was Jesus just crying blood. Remember at Mount of Olives when he said, you know, if this is not your will, pass this cup, but if it is, you know, give me the strength. And there's an angel there that comforted him in the scripture. And then, of course, the angel rolled back the stone in Jesus' tomb. And there was just, like, so much about the angels. So let's kind of go where the angels are announcing the birth of Jesus.
I'm going to interrupt you. I'm going to interrupt you for a second, Kirby, because I'm hearing some interference. And I wasn't picking up very clearly what you were saying. So, you know what? Why don't we just take a break And then we can come back and see if that could be fixed a little bit. I'm going to give out the numbers because we will open the lines for questions or for angel readings with Kermi. If you'd like to call in, and that number is 1-888-627-6008. The phone numbers are on the main page on the right-hand side of BBS Radio. So let's take a little break and see if we can get a little bit more clear and hear a little bit better. So we'll be back like in 90 seconds. Thanks.
Hi, this is Marco May, and you're listening to the number one internet radio network on the planet, bbsradio.com.
In the beginning, when I first began to make this beat, I heard it like I always have before. Then when I started cutting samples, laying down my tracks, I couldn't help but feel I needed more. So I leaned into the light, asking questions to the night, and I wondered how will I ever make it right. And it's all coming together, and it's all falling apart, as the city makes its way into your heart. And it's all coming together, and it's all
way into your. Hi everyone, you're listening to Angels Are Near Us here on bbsradio.com, and our invited guest today is Kermi Wollenhouse. Kermi is talking about the Christmas angels. So you were talking about angels appearing in the time of Christmas, the birth of Jesus, and you were talking about that, Kermi. Could you just tell us? I was listening to a little bit of noise, so maybe I was the one who couldn't hear very well.
Yeah, sure. We have to go, when we talk about the Christmas angels, of course, we go to the New Testament of the Bible, and the verses that really talk about this are Luke 2 from 8 until 19. Mm. And then what's interesting about this passage is that it talks about that there's shepherds in the fields and they're keeping watch over their flock at night, and an angel of the Lord stands before them. Now, whenever, so just to kind of give you a background, whenever God talks to humans, an angel of the Lord usually opens the door. So the burning bush was first an angel of the Lord, and then it turned into the divine when the burning bush was talking to Moses. So when an angel of the Lord comes, it's quite large. It's kind of like, this is big, pay attention. So it's just not any old little angel. It's like huge. And so I always tell people, if you find an angel that's kind of talking to you, ask them if they're the angel of the Lord. But they usually will identify themselves somewhat by that, because otherwise how would we know? Because this is oral tradition that was placed into written stories. This mm-hmm. story also, I want to tell you that the chapter of Luke is sometimes called the Mary chapter, because they feel that Mother Mary, the Virgin Mary, was the one who related these stories to Luke, and he wrote them down. It was during, there's a legend or a fact, a theory, that Luke was a painter and that he painted the Virgin Mary. And in fact, it was the very first painting of the Virgin Mary on a tabletop that Luke had, and while they were sitting together, she related these stories. So just kind of know this is in Mary's voice, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so they said, and behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and then the glory of the Lord, or God, shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Whenever you see an angel, mm-hmm. and during those times, it was usually the angel of death. So everybody's always freaked out, you know, whenever yes. an angel comes, because they think, uh-oh, they'll take me away. Now we know that they just show up and are interacting, and they have, usually, there's several reasons why they show up, but one of them is proclamation. So these were the proclamation angels. And when we see them in art, they're the ones with trumpets. They're not the ones with the string instruments that are just kind of bringing comfort and peace. But these are, you know, bright and shiny and loud. And the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for I bring good tidings of great joy for all people. And then the angel talks about that there is in the city of David that Christ is born. Mm-hmm. And then you will find this babe in swaddling clothes laying in a manger. And then suddenly, I like that, suddenly, like burst through the clouds, there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and singing, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, goodwill toward all or men. But mm-hmm. we're going to inclusify that now to say all of us, not just the men. And what that is, as you've probably talked about, the seraphim are very close to the divine, very high angels, and they sing the Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might. That's the creation song, and they just surround the divine with pure love and light, and that's kind of one of their things. So when you hear these amazing songs, when they're praising the divine, this is pretty hot stuff. So if you want a prayer that really goes right to the divine, mm-hmm. you know, say, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill to all people and all concerned. And then, you know, it just kind of turbocharges. That is such a praising place. So I just wanted to kind of accent that when angels speak and we actually write it down, it's like, ooh, this is hot stuff.
It's really from the divine, like you're saying. So when you mention, I know you were mentioning the large angels, but could you say like these were archangels, like Archangel Gabriel, because the seraphim that you mentioned are from the highest hierarchy, correct? Just mm-hmm. so our listeners could kind of understand that, mm-hmm. because when you talked about Gabriel. Gabriel mm-hmm. and Michael are in that hierarchy.
Yes. And okay. that comes from Thomas Aquinas. There were lots of theologians putting together lots of different theories about the hierarchies of angels. How many mm-hmm. archangels are there? You know, what's their names? Who is an archangel? Who isn't? Mm-hmm. I mean, there was at that time, there was a ton of theologians really saying that. Can I go into the history a little bit about why we have that hierarchy?
That would be great, yes, because that you okay. know we have learned, and I mean that's how I learned through the hierarchy, but you know uh-huh. the hierarchy has you know the seraphim, the cherubim difference. So yes, definitely you could tell us about that.
And we still use that to this very day. It mm-hmm. was really started by a theologian called Pseudo-Dionysius. Mm-hmm. And scholars thought at one time it was the Dionysius that Paul had converted. He became a bishop. But then we find out that it wasn't. He signs his name, Dionysius. But later on, scholars have said that really wasn't that Dionysius. So we're going to call this the pseudo-Dionysius, like the mm-hmm. fake Dionysius or something, mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. other Dionysius. But anyway, he was quite... I'd say prolific in his writings, and he was very instrumental in putting the Catholic kind of theology and dogma. At that time, it was only the Roman Catholic Church, but he helped put theological arguments in these amazing books. And one synod or one kind of conference that the Catholic fathers, because they were all men, put together, they wanted to argue this one point, some theological point. And Dionysus had a very good argument in one of his volumes of writing. And so the Catholics, synod at that point, they kind of deemed Pseudo-Dionysus, this one theory, as being dogma of the Roman Catholic Church. And so they kind of stamped that book. And when they stamped that book, all of his volumes became the authorized version of the Roman Catholic Church. So they all became stamped. And because of that, his theory on the hierarchy of angels is the one that gleamed through. It kind of turbocharged it through the ages, because of that one stamping of the other argument. And I could go into that, but we don't have time for that. Yeah. So we still use that. It's very interesting. Now, Sylvia Brown, she calls them phylums, and there's other people that have different names for them, but it's pretty common that we use that one hierarchy of the seraphim, the cherubim, the thrones, the dominions, the principalities, the powers, the archangels and the angels, you know, all of that is really the hierarchy that we use. Now, and the archangels, how many are there? You know, isn't that a question that we all want to know, maybe? But only one archangel really is named by name in sacred text, and that's the name of Michael. So we assume Gabriel is, because we have theological things that Michael's on one side and Gabriel's on the other. And,
yes.
And actually, Gabriel was probably feminine in her energy. But as you know, and the Bible was written certainly by men, monks, and everything, of course, they thought that when they said men, they meant women and men, or feminine or masculine. So you will read that there's no feminine angels in sacred texts sometime until we've had more experiences and we say, oh my gosh, Gabriel's feminine, you know, to some people. So we just kind of go with that. Anyway,
exactly.
the angel of the Lord was not an archangel. The angel of the Lord was kind of higher than that. A personal, kind of like the personal emissary of the divine. It's a kind of a different category. And so I have looked at who the angel of the Lord is, and it's very interesting when the angel of the Lord comes into interaction with us. There were a couple of times there was an angel of the Lord that came to Isaac and said, don't kill your son, you know, and Isaac had his son on the altar. And then also at the burning bush. So there's just more of them, but these were kind of the big ones that we know of.
That's very interesting. I'm glad you clarified that.
Also, an angel of the Lord was the one that came to Joseph in the dream and told them to go. It was an angel of the Lord that rolled back the stone on Jesus' tomb. I mean, it's quite big. When they have names and they identify themselves as names, that's when we kind of, you know, say this was an archangel.
This was an archangel or an angel. Okay. That is good to know, that difference to explain it. Well, let me give the numbers out if somebody wants to call in for their angel reading. Kermie will gladly give you angel messages, and I will as well. So that number is open. It's 1-888-627-6008, 1-888-627-6008. Call in for your angel messages. We still have time. We're going to go a little bit over the hour because we started a little bit late. So, Kermie, tell us a little bit about your book, because this is the first book you're writing. You wrote. It's already out, right? It's available.
Yes, it's How to Talk to and Actually Listen to Your Guardian Angel, and I've given workshops. There are 4-hour workshops on how to talk to and actually listen to your guardian angel, but I could only meet with 20 people and 20 angels. Any more than that, just it was overwhelming. And so it was like, oh my gosh. And I would really give workshops like every week, twice a week, but I wasn't getting enough information out. So people were asking, can I have this information? I would like to send it to my sister in Baltimore and different places. And I'd say, yeah, I gotta get that book. So I moved to Tucson, actually, to write this book and to get these books out. So that was really good. And within, I tried to put all the exercises, it's a workbook, so you start at the beginning and work your way all the way through. Then about halfway through, you'll find that there is people's experiences with guardian angels. And some of it is from my readings and some of it is from the workshop. But I wanted you to have that workshop experience, because in a workshop you hear everybody else's kind of weird interactions with their angels. They're like, oh my gosh, this is what my guardian angel said. And so, you know, I get to facilitate with everybody and say, yeah, let's explore that or let's do that. And, you know, kind of give some confirmation to this. And in a book, I wasn't able to be there. So I hope that the stories would help as well. And I've sent this book off to people, and I get a lot of interesting feedback. The people said, oh my gosh, so great, it changed my life. It was just that little oomph to get, I've been calling them, but I haven't heard them. And this book really helped me to hear my angels. It also was picked up in a major publisher in Canada, in Spain, so it's in Spanish. It just is coming out, I think, December, this month, in Spanish. So it should be available. You just go website and look it up, and you'll find it in Spanish, and then French and Turkish.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Isn't that amazing?
And the book, I know the name is How to Talk and Actually Listen to Your Guardian Angel.
Mm-hmm.
Correct? That's wonderful.
That's
yes,
correct.
You know, you're right. A lot of people say, you know, how can I get in touch with my guardian angel? So I think this book would be wonderful if you walk through it and tell them how to connect, because our angels are always around us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mostly our guardian angel is with us all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And we think that they came in prior to birth, when we were knowing about our soul mission, and then we went through what the Eastern religions called the river of forgetfulness. But we call in our angel band and our spirit guides, who knows who else, but the CEO or the director of our angel band is our guardian angel, and they call us that we are their charge. And when we do something that's the desire of our heart and we get a lesson, or we, you know, we finally like step out and do what we know we have to do for ourselves, they're just high-fiving. They're just like, you know, saying, that's my charge. You know, they're just so excited. They can't do it for us, but they can illuminate the path, you know, or make the other path a little difficult for us if we're going down the wrong way. You know,
absolutely.
They'll bring people and they'll do all kinds of stuff. They said, we can't intervene unless, and I love Betty Eady's book and that chapter, Embraced by the Light, and the chapter on prayer, where she talks about seeing the angels answer prayer because it helps us to understand about angels as well and about praying. And what she says in that is that there's lots of prayers, and the ones with faith and determination really get heard first. The little rote ones don't really have much light, but the ones that are just like, oh God, please help, from the bottom of our heart go up like big spotlights, and they answer those first. So I always love that. I want to pass that along. But also, she said that the most powerful prayers are those that we give for other people and that our parents have given to us or their children. So mothers and fathers praying for children to be with them tonight as they go out or whatever, just are very powerful because it's such deep, unconditional love in those parents.
Exactly.
And kind of bring this up immediately to those children, of course, and where we're, you know. And so we've kind of tapped in a little bit and sent lots of prayers, not only to the parents, the family, and the community, and the nation, and actually the planet, that about that big tragedy in Connecticut, but also this weekend kind of, there's a lot of people working on the other side, mediums, that really can help those children kind of transition into, you know, where they're going to be. And I kind of poked in, and as I was saying my prayers and joining everybody else in the nation with their prayers, but there's kind of some kid angels and some baby angels kind of helping them along and kind of guiding them as well. So anyway, so just
thank
know
you,
that
Ms.
not only do we help on this side, but there's a lot to help on the other side.
On the other side. I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I was going to mention that a little bit before the end of the show, that, you know, how angels were reminding me this weekend. You know, it was, of course, so challenging. And, of course, we send our light and love to all those who are grieving. But for all those who did go on, you know, I had a vision also the following morning where angels were showing me these beautiful, you know, angels of light. And they were just, you know, carrying these little babies, these beautiful souls, and that they were so nurtured. And, you know, the angels wanted us to remember that whenever we pass, whenever we go, we're so nurtured by the angels and by other spirits, like you're saying. You know, there's other spirits, there's spirit guides, there's so many beings of light. And that, you know, it brings us back to this time of light, right? The season of light, because angels are made of light and their warmth is, you know, like the sun. And so when we remember to pray, like you're saying, Kermie, with all our heart's intention to pray for those who need comfort at this time. But those who have passed on are really in heavenly love. They're in the spirit of light. And so when we ask our angels to be present, they're there. They're there joyfully. And they also remind us that they bring their light of joy even in the midst of suffering. So, you know, that is something that we do have to, you know, keep in mind mostly at this time, because we all need a lot of healing at this time. You know, we have a caller, Monique from Canada. Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Monique. What's
Hello?
Your question? Hello.
Hi. Actually, I was just wondering if, I don't really have any specific question. I'm just wondering if there's any insight that you can give me regarding angels that I might be connected with, or just basically any insight that you might have.
Okay. Do you want to take that, Kermie?
Yes. Monique, when you're talking, your name is so important to you. And it's an important name that when people talk about. So I would kind of look to see if when somebody, let me just kind of back up here, when somebody names their child Gabriella or even Angel or something like that, Mary, that name has a certain imprint from a celestial being. So your name, they were telling me, is connected to an angel. There is an angel that has they're just kind of showing me a little vision here and how they've kind of put their hand over your head. They kind of pat you, they kind of bless you. And that when you intuitively gave your parents that name, and there's more to it. Mm-hmm. Is there a middle name too, Monique?
Yes, Nicole.
No, Nicole. That it's good that you take just that Monique, but I would look it up in kind of an angel kind of dictionary or something. I certainly have them right here, but it's really an important name because there's an angel that has a connection with that. So I would just kind of do some research and see where you can find that. Also, do you know French?
Okay. No. I mean, I did learn some in school, but you don't use it, you lose it. And so, no, not really, no.
Where are you in Canada? They're kind of showing me about something about culture.
Sorry, something about what?
The French culture and the connection on that soil with the French. So where are you living at this point? Which province are you in?
I'm in Ontario. I'm actually
okay,
in Toronto.
Great. Perfect.
Yeah.
It would behoove you, and what they're kind of saying is that it would behoove you to kind of be in an area where there's French-speaking people. Go to a fountain. They're just kind of showing me this, Monica, sorry, but they're kind of just saying
okay,
go to this fountain and where there's a lot of French culture. I don't know why, but you'll know
okay.
later. And then start writing.
I love it.
Can I jump in, Kirby?
Yes.
Monica, I just want to jump in because I'm, you know, asking the angels. I'm looking at my angel cards. So it's incredible when Kermit was talking about go look for the culture, this guardian angel comes out in this fountain. And she's sitting at the fountain. It's your guardian angel who wants to take care of you, wants to take you where there's some water, where there's like forest, a fountain. And what is also coming up is romance around you. So I don't know if you already have a relationship or you're going to meet someone, but romance is really strongly around you right now. And Archangel Michael is the one who's bringing you this lots of love around you.
Interesting, because that's one of my, I'm in a relationship right now and I'm actually wondering where it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, you know, like Montreal, the French culture in Canada. I feel very comfortable. Like I could see myself living in Montreal in the future. So it's not surprising that you say that. Yeah.
Well, I think it's definitely validation of what Archangel Michael is saying. You are connected to that area because it feels that your guardian angels want to take you there. They're trying to
okay.
talk to you about it. And it feels like a lot of happiness is there for you. Even Archangel Michael is saying, you know, we are helping her to decide to be happy now and to open her heart to joy and bliss.
Yes.
And so the romance is involved at the same time. So,
you
know, something is working there. And, you know, it's sometimes a mystery for us, but it will open another door for you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll brush up on your French.
Yes. You'll brush up on your French.
Yeah. So I can at least communicate.
Right.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. That's all we have for tonight. But thank you for calling in, Monique, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Linda, I was, I need to correct myself on the angel of the Lord stopped Abraham from slaying Isaac. So I just wanted to kind of say that, that Isaac was in there, but it was Abraham that had to be stopped by the angel of the Lord from slaying him on the altar. So anyway.
It was Abraham. Okay.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
I also want to kind of talk a little bit about Christmas carols. And when we're singing our Christmas carols, there's so many angels, like Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Angels We Have Heard on High.
Absolutely. We're on the same channel because I wanted to talk to you. I wanted to ask you, what about the music and the angels? You know, they're so connected. Yeah.
And, you know, to have this tragedy at this time is almost blessed because...
Mm-hmm.
We're all going to be, you know, singing these songs and, you know, even Hanukkah, I mean, all these different kind of holy days that
are the
Lady of Guadalupe's birth. I mean, there's just so much going on this time of the year. It was so important that we can just turbocharge or just kind of escalate this. And so when we're singing all these Christmas songs like O Come All Ye Faithful, singing choirs of angels, singing exaltation, and, you know, and where it says, what child is this? The angels sing, haste, haste, to bring him laud, the babe, the son of Mary. O silent night, shepherds quake at the sight. O heavenly host, sing alleluia. You know, there's just like so much. Holy night, oh, hear the angels' voices. I don't know about you, Linda, but when they sing, oh, holy night, and when they say, and, you know, hear the angels' voices, I mean, I go right up to the angels. I'm just like,
I have cried in these Christmas concerts sometimes. I'm going to one this week, and I enjoy so much the music of the angels because it is so uplifting, you know. And I have always told a lot of our listeners and my clients that just to elevate our frequencies is very powerful, to be in the same frequency or very close to the angels. And music is one of them. And so when you listen to music, the same as prayer or when we meditate, but music uplifts your soul and your heart. So that's why we feel so touched and, you know, so in tune with it. Like you're saying, I just want to just keep on listening to the music because it just touches our heart and our soul. And that's what this season is about, like you're saying. This is the season to play the music, to hear the angels, because don't you think, Kirby, that they're so close to us right now? I mean, they have been for some time, but it seems like right now they're just so close to humankind.
You're right, and we're coming up to 12-12-12. So it's the
12-21.
And 12-12-12, where they've got, you know, all the 12, so that's always a powerful number. Yeah. And then, yeah, 12-21, I think that's Friday, isn't it?
It's
the time of the Mayan calendar ending, and the new one's coming, but it's in the winter solstice, so it's a really big time of darkness. And what happened is when folks, and while we're talking about angels, the time of darkness is the ending, certainly, but it's also bringing in the beginning of the light. So a lot of times people have done ritual or just around the solstice where they light every candle, every light in their house, just bringing in the light and bringing in the angels. And I just to go along with why are we feeling so many angels right now, I just think it's just such a powerful time we're living, you know, this month, and probably even longer, but there's so much going on.
There's so much in New York City. It's the time of the light, of the light of the angels. It's the spirit of love. So we need to enjoy this time. It is a time maybe of challenges that we've seen. The other thing that you mentioned is very important. It is December, and I've had a lot of messages from Our Lady of Guadalupe. I'm very close to her, and you know, Mother Mary, who is also represented during this month, is, you know, they remind us that the ways of the Divine Feminine is calling each one of us as well. So remember, you know, to call upon Mother Mary. She nurtures the children. She gives us comfort. She's compassionate. And whenever we need healing or more joy and love is needed right now, we can ask Our Lady of Guadalupe. We can ask Mother Mary. Any Divine Feminine energy that you resonate with, you know, she brings the light and the love of miracles. And amazing protection, you know. For me, it's been miraculous what Our Lady has helped me with. So I can assure everyone through my personal experience that I've been through that her divine and heaven purifying light will shine on you and all of us. And we need to trust and believe that the loving aid and sacred energy is around us right now at this time. We're going to be wrapping up in a few minutes.
Okay,
so,
let me just kind of tell you one last thing to bring in that.
Sure.
Because at the end of that scripture, when the shepherds come to tell the townspeople and they run to the manger, and it says the last two verses, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Mm-hmm. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart.
Mm.
So pondering these things in our heart, I think, with Mary, you're right, and what the angel said, it's just this astonishing and wonderful and deep right now.
It's very deep. It's very deep. You know, we sometimes we don't understand the mystery of life and the challenges, but, you know, we can reassure that the angels are near us to help us. Mother Mary is near us. Jesus is a great teacher who gives us guidance and love. And, you know, they're really spiritual partners, and we just need to be with them and invite them into our life, because if we don't invite them, it's difficult for angels or any light beings to support us. They always support us if we're, you know, in danger. as we know, but you know, it's easier to open up and be in that light. And so I want to thank you so much for being on the show, Kormi. This was wonderful. Do you want to give out your website again?
Thank you.
How people can find you.
Being of Light. Thank you for all you do. My website is www.kormiandtheangels.com.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, Linda. God bless.
Oh, God bless you. And for everyone out there, have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. Many angel blessings. Remember that God and the angels bring you gifts of hope and love and peace, and that the divine light within you during the holy days and these days for the new year are with you. So I'm sending everyone angel blessings. Thank you. Until next time, good night.